With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Have you noticed that your mind is like that dramatic friend who is always inventing catastrophic stories? Yes, the one who, if you're 5 minutes late, is already imagining that you had an accident. Well, it turns out that we all carry that friend inside our heads, and frankly, it's ruining our lives. You spend the day creating mental movies where everything goes wrong, where you fail miserably, where people judge you. It's as if you were the director of your own horror series. But the difference is that this series never ends and you are both the protagonist and the victim. Do you know what's the most ironic part of all this? That while you're lost in your imaginary apocalyptic scenarios, real life is slipping through your fingers. It's like being at a five-star restaurant, but spending the entire dinner worried about whether the food is poisoned. In the end, you don't enjoy the meal, and you also don't die poisoned. You just waste a perfectly good experience because of your runaway imagination. In today's episode, Stoic Philosophy is going to teach you three fundamental lessons to stop being the scriptwriter of your own mental nightmare. Don't miss the third lesson, because it will completely change the way you see those thoughts that torment you. The ancient Greek philosophers already knew something that we, with all our modern technology, have forgotten. Suffering doesn't come from what happens to us, but from the stories we tell ourselves about what happens. But before we begin, pay attention to this story that will help you better understand the wisdom contained in this material. Once upon a time, there was a merchant named Alexander who lived in a prosperous trading city. Alexander was known for being hardworking and honest, but he had a problem that consumed him day and night. He couldn't stop imagining everything that could go wrong. Every morning, before opening his shop, his mind had already created 1,000 disastrous scenarios. What if the customers didn't come? What if competitors ruined him? What if he lost all his money? What if his family abandoned him for being a failure? His days passed in a constant mental battle. While serving customers, his mind was busy imagining conversations where he was rejected, humiliated, where everything fell apart. At night, instead of resting, he stayed awake, going over and over all the possible disasters that might happen the next day. One day, an old philosopher came to his shop. The man watched Alexander for a while and noticed his constant unease, the way his hands trembled as he counted coins, how his eyes nervously darted from side to side as if he expected something terrible to happen at any moment. "Tell me, young merchant," said the old man, "why do you suffer so much if your shop is full of customers and your business is doing well?" Alexander was surprised by the question. "How do you know that I suffer?" he asked. "Your face tells the story of 1,000 battles that were never fought," the wise man replied. "You live in constant war against imaginary enemies." The merchant sighed deeply. "It's true, I can't help it. My mind won't stop creating terrible situations that could happen. It's as if I were cursed to live through every possible disaster before it even happens." The philosopher smiled with understanding. "You are not cursed, Alexander. You simply haven't learned to distinguish between what is real and what is the product of your imagination. Let me teach you something." The old man asked him to close his eyes and imagine that he was eating the most delicious fruit in the world. "Can you taste it?" he asked. "Yes," Alexander replied. "I can imagine its sweetness." "Now imagine that you're eating something rotten and bitter." Alexander grimaced. "I can feel how unpleasant it would be." "Exactly," said the philosopher. "Your mind doesn't distinguish between what you imagine and what you actually experience. When you create those terrible scenarios, Your body and soul suffer as if they were really happening. You are living through a thousand tragedies that exist only in your head. The wise man explained three fundamental lessons that would forever change the way Alexander viewed his thoughts. Over time, the merchant learned to free himself from that mental prison he had built, and his life was completely transformed. The moral of this story is that many times we are prisoners of our own thoughts, living tragedies that will never happen, and missing the beauty of the present moment. Before beginning with the first lesson, if you find these episodes useful, I encourage you to subscribe and activate notifications to stay informed about the latest updates. Let's begin. 1. Understand that thoughts are not facts. Have you ever stopped to think about how absurd it is to give so much power to something that doesn't even exist? Because that's exactly what you do when you obsess over those negative scenarios your mind invents. It's like being afraid of monsters under the bed when you're already 30 years old. The monster doesn't exist, but your fear does. And that very real fear is ruining your very real sleep. The Stoics understood this clearly more than 2,000 years ago. Epictetus, who, by the way, knew a thing or two about real suffering, said that it's not things themselves that disturb us, but the opinions we have about those things. Translated into modern language, it's not what happens that screws up your life, but what your crazy little mind invents about what happens. Think about it for a moment. How many times have you tortured yourself mentally by imagining an uncomfortable conversation with your boss, only to discover that when you finally talk to him, everything goes perfectly fine? How many nights have you lost sleep worrying about something that, when it finally happens, turns out to be far less dramatic than you had imagined? Or better yet, how many times have you suffered over things that never even happened? Your mind is like that friend who always exaggerates stories. You know, the one who turns a small misunderstanding into a full-blown soap opera with villains, betrayals, and tragic endings. The difference is that when your friend tells you those exaggerated dramas, you can laugh and tell him to calm down. But when your own mind tells you those stories, for some reason, you believe them completely. Here comes the first big revelation. Your thoughts are not facts. They are simply mental events, like clouds passing through the sky. Some clouds are pretty and fluffy, others are gray and threatening, but they all pass. The problem arises when you start to identify with those thoughts, when you start believing that you are your thoughts. It's like confusing the movie with the screen. The movie screen can show a horror film, a romance, or a comedy, but the screen itself is none of those things. The screen is simply there, neutral, allowing the images to pass. Your consciousness is like that screen, and your thoughts are like the movies projected onto it. The Stoics practiced something they called the discipline of judgment. Every time they had a disturbing thought, they stopped and asked themselves, "Is this a fact or is this an interpretation? Is this something happening right now or is this something my mind is projecting?" This simple question has the power to free you from the tyranny of your own thoughts. For example, imagine your partner comes home late and doesn't answer the phone. Your mind immediately starts creating stories. They're surely with someone else. They don't love me anymore. They're going to divorce me. But if you apply the discipline of judgment, you ask yourself, "What do I know for certain? I only know that they came home late and didn't answer the phone. Everything else is interpretation, stories my mind is inventing." The difference between suffering and not suffering often lies in this fundamental distinction. When you confuse your interpretations with reality, you suffer over things that haven't even happened. When you learn to see your thoughts for what they really are, temporary mental events, you regain your freedom. This doesn't mean you should ignore your thoughts or pretend they don't exist. It means you must learn to relate to them differently. Instead of being the main actor in all those mental dramas, you can become the observer. Instead of being inside the movie, you can sit in the theater seat and watch the story unfold, knowing it's just that, a story. The next time your mind starts to create one of those catastrophic scenarios, remember that you're watching a movie, not reality. And like any movie, you can choose to change the channel. 2. Separate what depends on you from what doesn't. Look, there's a reason why the Stoics were the calmest people in ancient history. and it's not because they lived in a more relaxed time. In fact, they lived surrounded by wars, plagues, insane emperors, and all kinds of calamities that would make our modern problems look like a walk in the park. The difference is that these philosophers had discovered the best-kept secret of the universe. Most of the things we worry about are completely outside our control. It's like worrying about the weather while you're planning a wedding. You can spend months stressing over whether it will rain on your big day, you can check forecasts, perform anti-rain rituals, even curse at the clouds. But at the end of the day, it's either going to rain or it's not, and you have absolutely no say in the matter. The only thing you can control is whether you have a backup plan, rent a tent, or decide that a wedding in the rain can be romantic too. Epictetus divided everything into two super simple categories: what depends on you and what doesn't depend on you. And here's the part that will blow your mind. According to him, the only things that truly depend on you are your judgments, your decisions, and your responses to what happens. Everything else, and when I say everything, I mean everything, is outside your control. Is your boss an idiot? That doesn't depend on you. Is your partner in a bad mood today? Doesn't depend on you. Is traffic impossible? Doesn't depend on you. Does your neighbor blast music at full volume? Doesn't depend on you. Is the economy unstable? Definitely doesn't depend on you. The list is endless, and when you really start to analyze it, you realize that 90% of the things you stress about daily fall into the category of not up to you. But here's the mental trick we all fall into. We spend 90% of our mental energy worrying about that 90% of things we cannot control, and we barely give 10% of our attention to the 10% of things we can manage. It's like being the manager of a company, but spending the entire day obsessing over what the competition is doing instead of improving your own business. Imagine your mind is like a smartphone. Each worry is like an app running in the background. If you have 1,000 apps open worrying about things you can't control, your mental phone is going to slow down, overheat, and eventually run out of battery. But if you close all those useless apps and only keep open the ones you really need, the ones you can control, your phone is going to work beautifully. The Stoics practiced a super powerful mental exercise. Every morning they asked themselves, "What things are going to happen today that are completely outside my control?" And instead of stressing about those things, they accepted them in advance. It's like mentally vaccinating yourself against the drama of the day. For example, before heading to work, instead of worrying and thinking, "I hope there's no traffic," you tell yourself, "There will probably be traffic today, and that's fine because I can't control it. What I can control is leaving earlier, bringing music I enjoy, or using that time to listen to an interesting podcast." When you start applying this mental division in your daily life, something magical happens. You stop wasting energy fighting against windmills and channel it toward the things you can actually change. It's like stopping yourself from trying to hold back a hurricane with your hands, and instead focusing on building a house that can withstand the storm. The key is to be brutally honest with yourself about what's in your zone of control and what's not. And trust me, at first it's going to feel uncomfortable because you'll realize you have much less control than you thought. But that initial discomfort quickly turns into an incredible sense of liberation. It's like dropping a super heavy backpack you didn't even realize you were carrying. Suddenly you can walk faster, breathe better, and enjoy the scenery instead of being focused on the weight you've been hauling around. 3. Practice negative visualization without drama. Now comes the part that might sound counterintuitive, but trust me, this Stoic technique is absolutely revolutionary. It's called premeditatio malorum, which basically means preparation for the bad. But it's not what you think. It's not about turning yourself into a chronic pessimist or feeding your darkest fears. It's exactly the opposite. You see, there's a huge difference between neurotic worry and intelligent mental preparation. When you worry, your mind creates catastrophic scenarios and then just sits there, wallowing in the drama like a pig in the mud. You imagine the worst, you feel all the anguish as if it were already happening, and then you do nothing constructive with that information. You just suffer. Stoic negative visualization is completely different. It's like being a pilot who practices emergency simulators. The pilot doesn't sit in the simulator thinking, "Oh no, the plane is going to crash." He sits there to train his mind and his responses so that if a real emergency ever comes, he knows exactly what to do, without panic. The Stoics understood something that modern psychology is rediscovering. When you mentally prepare for difficulties in a systematic and calm way, your mind develops a kind of emotional immunity. It's like a vaccine against unnecessary suffering. Marcus Aurelius, who besides being an emperor was also a practicing Stoic, reminded himself every morning that during the day he might encounter unpleasant people, frustrating situations, or unexpected setbacks. But he didn't do this to depress himself. He did it to be mentally prepared. It was like putting on an emotional bulletproof vest before going out to fight the daily battle of life. At the end of the day, these three Stoic lessons are not just ancient theory. They are practical tools to stop being a hostage of your own imagination. Remember, your thoughts are not facts. Focus only on what you can actually control and mentally prepare, without drama, for whatever may come. The next time your mind tries to turn you into the protagonist of a tragedy that hasn't even happened, you'll know what to do. As Epictetus used to say, it's not things themselves that disturb us, but our opinions about those things. If you've made it this far, write in the comments, "My thoughts don't control me," and I invite you to subscribe and turn on notifications for more Stoic wisdom that can transform your daily life. See you in the next mental adventure.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out: Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.